Welcome to the Be Encouraged podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Brindle. First, I want to thank you for listening in and know that you mean so much to me. I am a wife, mom of three, teacher, writer, and by nature, an encourager. I'm here juggling life and all that goes with it. That's why I want to spread a little faith and encouragement on your good and maybe not so good days to lift you up and onward. I'll be here reminding you that with God, nothing is impossible. And as you take your next step in your journey, I am filled with excitement because wherever you are, you will be encouraged. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Be Encouraged podcast. Are you a dreamer? Are you a doer? Do you feel called? Do you feel that nudge to step into your giftings, but need someone who has been there to help extend that wisdom and encouragement as well as faith? Then yes, this right here, this episode, come on in, lean in a little bit and turn it up because you're listening to episode 113 on the Be Encouraged podcast with guest speaker Anita Anello. And me, I'm your host, Jackie Brindle. You know, Anita wears many hats, as many of us do. And Anita is a mom, a wife, a successful entrepreneur, coach, and corporate businesswoman. She has scaled the corporate ladder and gained value, insight along her journey that weaves in family, marriage, faith, and career. Additionally, Anita is passionate about championing others who weave together these core values into her own life and wants to help you enjoy your time, money, and freedom. That's right, more of it. And as you follow your own dreams, callings, and ambitions, I hope that this encourages you. Anita and I unpack the hard and beautiful parts of going through the messy middle. Yes, that messy middle part of life where maybe you start something and you're not quite to the finish line, or maybe it took a wrong turn, or maybe you came to a dead end, and it can get pretty messy because depending on what the curveball is or what's coming your way, you want to figure out, well, how do I respond to that? How do I be equipped with what I'm going to face next? And how can I be encouraged when life doesn't go according to plan? So I want you to just come alongside Anita and I, because I feel like this is an episode we are going to champion one another in this crazy, hard, and beautiful journey together. I hope that this message today brings you hope, encouragement, and if you would like to learn more about our guest speaker today, be sure to click on the link in the show notes after you listen in and follow Anita on Instagram. The links are all right there. And if you feel really, really super encouraged, inspired, like it just lit a fire under you, please share this with your friends and family. They need to know it too. And it might just be exactly what they need to hear to get moving onward. So let's grab your cup of coffee, get on your walk or run, or wherever you are, be encouraged. Let's go. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Be Encouraged podcast. Today, I have an exceptional guest that is going to just make your heart beat a little bit quicker today in your calling, whatever God is calling you to and your purpose. I know she would just illuminate the conversation with encouragement. Thank you, Anita, for coming on the show today.
You're so welcome, Jackie. I'm so excited to be here and just to get to know you. And I'm excited for what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, I feel that it's going to be such a good conversation. You know, we both, I think, are very much like-minded in a sense of being entrepreneurs. And, you know, I'm doing a podcast and you're doing all of the things that you'll talk about today. But before we even get to all of those fun things, I would love for you to tell us a little bit about where you are on the map, what you like to do, where you're from, that kind of thing. We'll start there.
Okay, so we currently live in right outside of Austin, Texas. We are from San Clemente, California. So the transition going from a beach community and being a beach girl my whole life and moving to Central Texas has been good and hard and amazing all at the same time. And so that is just one of those things that we as a family have really, we've really kind of leaned into. We always like to say, like, in San Clemente, we had an incredible homeschooling community and church community and neighborhood community that were really our family that we belong to. And as we let go of kind of like that kung fu grip that we had on people, God's shown us as we've released the grip on people and really attached ourselves to the Father, then we've been able to re-engage with people, my whole family, like from my husband and I to our youngest kids. It's been really incredible to be on this journey. Some days I can't believe I actually live in Texas. But other days, I'm like, Lord, this is exactly where you have us, because we have so flourished and matured and are so settled in our proper identity with the Father, vertically. And then that has allowed us to reconnect with people horizontally, that it's been so good. Like I love it. I love it here, and I love what God's doing in our lives.
I love that you mentioned settled. I think that you made a really good point. I think we're just gonna a great segue to open up into what we have the next couple of questions I have for you. But settling, right? So settling your eyes on the Lord. You like talk about that vertical instead of horizontal. But doing that whole taking your eyes on Jesus, on taking your eyes on, the Father. I think that's a beautiful thing, and shifting your heart towards that. I think that's hard when you are stepping out into the unknown and letting go of certain things. Where to shift your eyes, where to steady your feet, where to, because everything else, when you start to move, right, the ground starts to shake. So where are you going to be settled, right? And sometimes when often things get a little shaky in our lives, we tend to, I know I can speak for myself. I tend to look at, okay, well, if I settle for this, then I won't have to compromise that. And we all want to be comfortable and peaceful, right? When the Lord starts to shift us and change us. So how do you kind of, how does that decision to keep your eyes on Him in a time when you know the Lord doesn't want you to settle where you're at, impact you?
So actually, I think for me, it started a lot of years ago. I had joined a prayer team at church, and I was really on really interested in diving in, and been on this journey for, I feels like, a while now, of really understanding like my proper identity. So as a young person, right, I was raised around church. We can get into that a little bit later, but didn't I felt like I was saved for later for heaven, but kind of lived like hell. And so then really didn't have any transformation in my life until I really until I had like an encounter, a physical encounter with God. And that happened at age 36. And so once that started happening, and I started really realizing and recognizing, like, as a younger person trying to find my worth and my value and all the things outside. Right. And we do that as women. We can try to find our worth and our value in like the maybe kind of like the healthy things, like our husbands, our children, our job, our education, or something like that. Or maybe the less healthy things, like, drugs, alcohol, sex, all those kinds of things. Like I walked through all of that. And so what God had shown me when I really had this transformation was, Anita, I want you to understand what your identity in me really is, right? And that where it started was like being able to teach my kids when they were really young, like, God's word is true from cover to cover. Everything that He says
So
about
good.
us is really the most important thing in our life. And if we are really I was starting to recognize that. Especially like for young women, when we're able to recognize that our identity comes from what the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus say about us in their word, right? Because that's like the family figure. That's the Father of God, the Mother of God, and the Son of God all together. When we allow them to speak the truth about our identity into our lives, and we get our worth and our value from them, then we're not actually going out and trying to get our worth and our value from people anymore. Like, then we can actually be like that. To me, that's what I've noticed in my walk. And this has probably been like maybe a 10-ish year journey of like, oh, like that's how I can be content in where I am. Like, that's how I can have peace in where I am. But if I'm always trying to like grab for my worth and my identity and my value from other people or other things, or maybe it was like, for me, it was a lot for a long time before this, it was my identity was wrapped up in my career and my income and my title and my stuff and all the things that life had told me were what I was supposed to pursue. And so I think it probably comes back to that. It's like getting my identity so solid, right? And again, it's that I'm so solid this way that when I stretch out and meet people, so when I like just verbally, I'll use that. When I'm so solid in my identity and who God says I am vertically, then actually I can enjoy life horizontally so much better, because then I'm good with me. And once I'm good with me, then you and I can be better friends because I can see you for who you are and pour into you in that and like draw out the gold and like, oh my gosh, Jackie, you're amazing. And here's why. And be able to just really speak truth into your life, right? So it not only ministers to my heart, but it allows me to actually have very different relationships with people in that way.
It's so good because, even Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And I love that. He's not messing around, you guys. And I love that it set you free in so many different ways. And you even said physically, let's go back to that. Like, what happened to you, Anita, that physically, if you want to share that with us today? I mean, that's a question I have in my mind. Like, how did God transform you? Because you said you were putting your hope in things that were just fading. And I just love that you were like, okay, no, I'm gonna cling to the vine. In John 15, it says, just stay in the vine, abide in me. And he's like, it's no joke. When you abide in him, you can do all those things you just said. Like, you can funnel out the joy and the peace, even with amidst your circumstances. You're holding on tight to something that stands strong. So I guess for me, I'm wondering, like, how did you figure that through something physical, yourself that you
So
experienced?
there's probably two things. Like on the surface, what was happening is I had risen to a level of really great success in my career. I had like I was an executive in the software industry, worked for a global tech company. I had kind of climbed the ladder, and I got up to, I remember distinctly, like I can, it's still palatable to me right now. I remember climbing to the top and kind of getting to this spot where I was like, I have the money and the title and the accolades and all these things around me, and I was not happy. I was not happy at all. Like I felt kind of like choked out when I got to the top, looking around, going, is this it? Are you kidding me? Like this can't possibly be it. I worked all this time and sacrificed all these things in these relationships, and I was not satisfied at all. Now some of that actually, just to be clear, like some of that had to do with old wounds that I had that really needed to be healed so that I could really genuinely be set free. But also, it was like this, I went after what the world's version was, right? So then come to Christ in the midst of that career, God starts unwinding all this nonsense that I had had in my mind that somehow, as a woman, in order to be successful in the corporate space, I had to act like all my male counterparts. And at the time that I was in tech, so I worked for like this tech giant, super successful, but the bulk of my peer group was always men. And so, in order to, I didn't really realize it at the time, but as God started unwinding this nonsense that I had in my mind of like, hey, I made you to be this wonderful woman and this powerful woman and this successful woman. And so, what does it look like to be like a successful woman of faith in the midst of a corporate environment? Because I'm not supposed to be like all my male counterparts. And by that, what I mean is I'm not supposed to act and speak and behave and think the way that they do, because that's the way that God's made them. And so it was a process of, I just always got this picture is like unwinding this nonsense that I had in my mind and my heart. It took about 8 years, to be honest with you. I always hated when women would say, oh, don't worry. Oh, you remember like the Israelites wandered around for 40 years until they got to the promised land. And I'd be like, don't tell me that. I hate those stories. And I mean that to say like these long time frames that other older, sweet, wise women would give me would frustrate me. They would frustrate me so badly because I would be like, don't tell me I have to wait 7 years until my breakthrough. Don't tell me I have to wait 40 years until my breakthrough. Like that, it would make me so angry and so mad. But really, what was happening in that process is God was maturing me. He was ministering to me. He was loving me. He was healing me. Like now I can look back and say, oh my gosh, God, it wasn't. So here's the thing, Jackie, don't we know that oftentimes we are not, I don't always think that we're waiting on the Lord. I think oftentimes God's like, I have it for you right here, right now, and I'm just asking you to walk in it. So I think more times than not that God's actually waiting on us instead of the reverse.
Yes. I think God is definitely Yeah, he has his hand out, I think. And there's favor with him. I think of even Esther, you know what I mean? Like it was time, you know, but it was a process. You know, she wasn't the first one. If you know the story of Esther, she wasn't the first one picked out of, you know, the gamut of women that were there to be, you know, presented to the king. You know, she didn't know. She probably had doubt in herself and who she was and who she wasn't, but God had to encounter her throughout that, right? So even no matter where you are on the time span of your life, you know, God still wants to encounter you in a very personal way. And he may use 8 years, he may use 10 years, he may use 40 years, he may use a month, who knows? But God can transform you in I think anything worth the transformation. He's going to purify you and refine you. And it's not going to be an easy process. I love that you said untangling and unwinding. Like, I want to sit with those words. Like, those words impact me in such a way, because you're right. When we're younger, and I can attest to this, in my 20s and early 30s, I thought, oh my goodness, it's supposed to be this picture, this narrative I painted for myself. And the Lord really smashed that picture. He's like, it's going to be my way. So sometimes it's unwinding, untangling, and these beautiful words, but sometimes he's like, I'm going to break that up, you know, yeah. But work each piece and extract the good, like those treasures from you. And I love that he's patient enough with us. He's a good father, that he still has a great plan for your life and my life, Anita. And I just think, you know, that's such a cool, you know, way to think about it as we journey through what God has for us. And in the corporate world, I love that you spoke to this, because I think a lot of women, I love that God spoke to you in a corporate setting. Like, that is so awesome. It's like you're a trailblazer in this, you know, and you want to give back to what, you know, you have learned through it. You know who you are meant to be in that. And that's important that God was so patient with you in that and what you have learned through that journey. So I think specifically, I want to speak to what were some of those things that you had to let go of in order to move onward into that purpose?
In terms of let go, I had to release a lot of like control of what I thought life was supposed to be like. And that was like, I'm super type A. I'm a driver. I loved getting things done. On the DISC personality profile, my temperament is a C and a D. If you know anything about those, like the C's and the D's are, they're like the entrepreneurs. D's are the entrepreneurs of the world. We get things done. But what I love is that in the goodness of God, helping me recognize that there are other people in my life that are involved in the journey that we're actually on. And specifically starting with like my husband and the journey that he's on, and our kids and the journey that they're on. And so oftentimes where I wanted to like blast ahead and do all the things, God's like, oh, little buddy, you're so sweet that you think that that's what it's going to be like.
Oh yeah, I've been there.
And so gentle, God's so gentle and so kind, right? This is something you said earlier, like, let's just acknowledge God can do stuff right here, right now, no matter what, right? But oftentimes the process is, but I want you to mature and love and learn along the way. Because remember, God's always trying to grow us up as his sons and his daughters. Mm. He doesn't, like, we even know with our own kids, like, I would not be a great mom if I allowed my children to be so spoiled that they never had to do anything for themselves. And think of how God, like God says, I'm even better than any parent, earthly parent that you could even imagine. Yeah. So in terms of like letting go, there was a lot of like preconceived ideas and wounds, a whole bunch of just old woundedness. Like I grew up in a household where there was abuse at every single level. So allowing that stuff to be healed. And in my first marriage, my first husband was abusive. So allowing that stuff to be healed so that I could actually walk in the good stuff with a husband who's amazing and a husband who's a super champion. Like I live in a household of the biggest cheerleaders on the planet for me, who are constantly, regularly saying like, Mom, babe, you're amazing. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you so much for what you model. Thank you so much that like, it's like my core values and the way they leak out all the time. And my family is regularly saying like, thank you that you do that kind of stuff. And then sometimes my husband's like, babe, you need to like relax a little bit and slow down and not work yourself
Yeah.
so hard and that kind of stuff.
Well, I love it because you definitely have a radical vision about what God was placing your heart to do. You have leadership skills, you trust in God, and but we need those people that God places in our life. I love that. He doesn't like leave us alone. We're not isolated. And I think the time we set ourselves apart and we say we're isolated, we're doing this all by ourselves, is when we start to really feel the pressures of life because we're, again, we're not in the vine. We're not looking to him and what does he have for us? And he had provided you with such a lovely family and your husband and, you know, your kids. And I just think that's a really cool testimony in and of itself, the people around you that lift you up. And I do love that. You know, and as you tackle big dreams, you know, corporate world, I mean, come on, that's pretty scary, you know, to say, and you have a dream and you help women in the entrepreneurial life and in your home life. And I guess specifically, like, how would you encourage another person to take on a big dream of theirs? I think that's where I want to go with that because you've now kind of hit some pinpoints of, you know, that God will help you to become successful if you dwell in him. So how have you been able to tackle those big dreams as you have been able to focus on him?
So I think in tackling the big dreams, there's probably a couple of things there. One is so God gave me a vision a while ago when I started entering the coaching space. And just to be clear, like my coaching space, my sweet spot, my audience is those successful corporate women of faith that have risen to a certain level of success, but they have a God-sized idea of a dream inside of them to switch over and reapply that into the entrepreneurial space. And so when we talk about like the vision that's there, and God has shown me this vision. Sometimes it's kind of scary. So to just be honest, like the vision that He's given me is massive. And so when we start out, we think as entrepreneurs, well, it's going to be about the money first. Well, then the money doesn't come, or the money doesn't. It's just not there, and or it's not enough to really sustain you. So you start recognizing and get digging in deeper. Like, well, what's the why there? So being able to dig down deeper into the why of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, it's being able to create a movement for women. And specifically, some of the things that you said earlier, Jackie, was you were talking about isolated. So for me, as I was working full time in the software industry, and my work week went anywhere from 40 hours to 80 hours a week. And then I start having this encounter with God. So I start moving into more of a Christian circles and Christian life. And what I was either hearing or understanding, it could have been like spoken out loud or not spoken, and this is the way that I perceived it. Somehow I kept getting this message that as a corporate working mom that and successful and all this kind of stuff, and then having kids, that somehow like that was less of a godly calling. And I really shrunk back for a lot of years because of that. And then when we moved down to Texas, I was able to connect with some ladies that could see that value in me. Because as a corporate mom, I didn't ever feel like I connected with the stay-at-home moms. We just didn't, to be honest, like I just didn't feel like I had a lot in common with these gals. And then I retired early and shifted over to homeschool our kids full-time. And then again, I was like wrestling with some of these things. Like I had been a business owner, I'd been in the corporate space. I kind of wanted to do something again. I knew that I was like high functioning and could do a lot of things more. I had a bigger bandwidth than maybe other people. And so I was kind of restless in that season. So then I didn't necessarily always fit in with all like the homeschooling stay-at-home moms. And so when we moved down to Texas, I got into a situation where I had some amazing ladies really like call out that gold in me and say, Anita, there are women in the Bible that are super successful and are leaders and are powerhouses and are trailblazers, and that's who you are. And it's okay to actually step into that. And so as I started walking through that process, right, it's what we've been talking about. I had to let go of some of these old lies, essentially, right? Lies that didn't fit me anymore, and kind of take that stuff off and then put on some of the things that God had called me to walk in. So then you start talking about some of the challenges in that. Well, now all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait a minute, I can do this. Now I'm empowered to do this. Then it was like, well, then how am I going to do this, right? And so the other element of that and getting to it is sometimes like getting the vision and trusting that is a big piece of it. But then also just walking it out.
Right.
Because don't we know, like, the walking it out, sometimes the daily grind of life and the hard, and I got to figure out this, and how do I create content and school my kids at the same time, and then take client calls and build a successful business and all this kind of, like, how do I do that without losing myself and losing my people? Because that was a big fear for me. And so also laying down the fear and trusting God in the process of understanding, you know, it's actually okay that you're going to be, it's okay to want to be, have a healthy marriage and intentionally raise your own kids and homeschool them and to be a successful business owner. Like it's, and I'm going to show you how that's going to work specifically for you, Anita. And so that process of laying those things down and trusting and listening and trusting and, you know, I'll just be clear for me, it was not an overnight thing because I know in the online space, especially when we run businesses and entrepreneurs, we hear people say all the time, and it's such, I might just say, I hope I don't offend anybody. It's such bullshit. I mean, it really is. Like that overnight success, that hockey stick of the revenue, all that kind of stuff. Like those things can happen, let's be clear. But the work that it takes to be able to get that, like that's what we don't see is the amount of specialized skill that you had to be able to get there, the business knowledge, the experience, the favor, like the conversion of all of those things, then yes, they actually do lead, they can lead to what seems like an overnight success. But at least in my experience, life is not, it's not normally a, like the things that we see and that we share on social media about this kind of success in our lives, those don't usually happen like in a, because the person changed their character overnight. It happened because there was a process that we went through to submit to what God has to us and step into the calling. I think that's the other part is where there's fear to step in. God gives you a big vision there initially, you know, like if you are a part of a Holy Spirit filled church where there someone's prophesying over you and they say, hey, Anita, guess what? I see that you're going to do this. And you, sometimes you can walk home and be like, uh-uh. But then also God, he also calls us to where he knows that we are going to be so fulfilled in our hearts and we're going to line up our purpose and our destiny and the people that are supposed to be around us. Like those things do converge, and they do converge over time when we're willing to step into the hard stuff that God has for us, because it's he wants good things for us.
I think, you know, and as you're just speaking, it really touched my heart because it's just this, he's so personal to like, know, like to meet, to weave together all parts of the story from beginning to the end. He knows your beginning to the end and he wants you to trust him. Like you said, and listen, I just imagine like a braid, right? Like that third, that middle string is just that surrender, stay in surrender to the vine, that verticalness, right, to him. And then you have to make that choice of trusting. So take that one strand over. You have to take that other choice of listening. That means reading your Bible. Yep. That means knowing God's word, because right, we can't listen to God's voice if we're not in the word. We don't know that peace that transcends all understanding if we don't know who God is in our lives for ourselves. So, I mean, maybe you're taking this and it's like, oh, I don't know what faith is. I don't know what that looks like for me in the corporate world. I don't know what that looks like for me in my career or my passion or my ambitions. Listen, I'm telling you what, it's just one step in front of the other. Just like she said, it's one strand over another. And I'll tell you what, the more you braid together, the more that comes together as you abide in him, God will just, he's going to make something so incredible with that in your life, is just as he's done in Anita. I mean, I listen to you and you have wisdom. I mean, I just want to hang on those words that are just dripping from you, because wisdom is something that you don't necessarily hear in a business world and a woman who, I mean, in a ministry. Now, let me just say this too. You know, we were talking about, you know, the corporate world. Hey, that can be your ministry. Can I tell you what, how many people need Jesus in that ministry by what you do, what you say, the integrity you uphold. Can I just tell you, that is a ministry. What Anita, you are doing, you are reaching other women in faith and in the world that needs to be connected to the vine. You know what I mean? And I love that. And I think about all the teachers out there. That's a ministry. I think about whatever you're doing. If you work at McDonald's, that's a ministry. Like wherever you are serving the Lord, that is where, you know, God has called you to, then you're, it's a ministry. I know I went there, McDonald's, but you know what I mean?
That's so, right.
But hey, God's going to use you in the small and in the big. And, you know, good things come from small beginnings. Like you said, it's not overnight. And it's not how the world perceives. And I think that's how we have to start. Like what you said, break down those barriers of what the world says. I think maybe even get a sheet of paper and just say, what am I believing about the world today? Like, what is that? And then what does God say about what he's doing in my life? What does God want for me? And I don't think we should be afraid to embrace that. So, and I think too, like, what about unspoken prayers? Like, do you think you had those as you went through this process of, you know, where you are today in your journey, like you were speaking to?
Absolutely. So, last year we had a kind of a radical thing happen in our life. My husband was, in about 6 weeks, 8 week period where we had like a major, marriage upset. And then we had a medical crisis. My husband was hospitalized. And in the midst of that, he had lost his job. Now, I had started some businesses, but they weren't super profitable at that point. And so in the midst of that, reaching out to different people to all of a sudden realize like, oh, my gosh, like my husband's he's out. He's down for the count. Like by God's grace, he's here and he's alive. But he was not. You know, he needed to heal after being hospitalized with a medical situation. And so reached out to a couple of people, made some, you know, reached out to people that I knew in my industry that I had known for like 20 years, ended up being like, oh gosh, it's go time. Like, okay, God, here's the deal. So I had reached out then, and this is going to answer your question, right? You had said, were there prayers? So there were prayers that we were talking about, and there were a whole bunch of prayers that I wasn't talking about. I was only chatting with God about, right? And the intimacy that I already had with God by spending time with him allowed this whole story to kind of unfold. So just real quickly, I reached out to a couple of friends of mine and ended up gathering some clients, right? And in my space, I was able to gather some clients that did technically take my income in my business from pretty small to hockey stick up. But right, again, we talked about like there was a lot of leading up to that. And in the midst of that, I was reaching out to my pastors. I was reaching out to my girlfriends, reaching out in prayer to our church and our prayer team, and had kind of like, hey, this is what we need. This is what we need immediately in our marriage, in our health situation, and for my kids, like this, and the body of Christ came alongside of us. And our church family was able to help us in amazing ways. But I also had prayers in my mind that were only God and I. Yeah. And I was like, God, there's no way that I can go back and have to work a full-time job right now. Like I need so much time and space. We're not done homeschooling. We're just going to get ready. Like in a month or so, we're going to start year 15 of homeschooling. I was like, Lord, these are the things I cannot do. So I had a whole list of things that I was asking people to pray for, but I also had some silent, quiet prayers that it was just God and I. And do you know, Jackie, like the way God provided for us and our family by bringing me these clients and taking my business to a whole new level, what seemed like almost overnight, like these divine conversations where I'd have one conversation and a new client would come to me. I'd have another conversation and a new client, but like the sales, normal sales cycle that was stretched out and based on what I do is usually takes a little bit longer to be able to get clients to sign a contract. It was like immediate, right? And so as I looked back to be able to give testimony and say like, Lord, you not only answered, I needed this, 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 and this, and this, and here's the list, but here's all the things that I wasn't telling anybody about because my heart was breaking for the circumstances and the situation. And I knew that I didn't want to, go and have to go to an office full time and leave my kids in the midst of kind of this gnarly upset. And then being able to come out on the other side and have my husband and I look at each other the two of us whole and restored and healthy again in our own marriage. Vince starting a path that was radically different than what he had ever experienced in his life and needing to heal from a really difficult emergency situation medically, and then losing his job in the midst of that. And, you know, looking back and being like, but God, this is what you did, you know? So yes, those prayers that are spoken, unspoken, God always knows what those are. And you,
so
you just,
yeah. So yeah, powerful. I mean, I'm just in awe of it. It gives me such hope for whoever's listening today. Maybe you have some unspoken prayers on your mind that God is calling you to say, keep speaking them to me. Keep giving me your burdens. You know, it says that in his word. And I love how faithful he is to his truth, to his word. You know, we can get wary, you know, if you're maintaining a successful business, maintaining a home, and then life happens and, you know, it hits the fan. What do? You know, and I love how you and your husband were able to turn to God. I think that simple step of obedience, you know, there's something that I think the Lord is showing me in this season is there's a thing called striving, and then there's thing, you know, that thing called trusting and surrender. And the more I think about just your path, the more I think about even my own path, the less I strive. And like basically strive goes out the window and I trust God, the supernatural starts to happen. And I'm not talking this, oh, that sounds weird, Jack. No, like it legit, you can't even explain what happens. And I think that's what you're speaking to. You can't explain how God could restore something like that, how God could heal like that, how God could know all those things. You didn't say it out loud. You just probably said it in your head, like in passing, like that'd be great, you know, X, Y, Z. I love how God takes that and shows up so personal to say, Anita, I've been hearing you this whole time. I've never left you. I love you. Regardless of what's going on, you are my child. And when we recognize that whole thing in our lives that we are a child of God, it just starts to give us that peace and that joy, and things just start to happen and don't make sense. And that is like such a good feeling, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And I love that. So so champion other people is what you do as well, not only in their business, and then others that have come around you who've shown you that they can champion one another. Can you tell me a little bit about creating a space that encourages others, even entrepreneurs, that will help them through the next step of what they're going through, and why champion would be important as others move forward in whatever space realm they're in? Why do you think champion others is important?
I think as women, like I spoke about earlier, right, in my experience where I felt like I was called one area and I was kind of ostracized in another area, that was just my personal experience inside of, not because anybody was malicious or anything like that. That's just what I experienced in kind of inside the church. And so I think it's so incredibly important. And this is what God has put on my heart. And the irony in that is I grew up in a household of all sisters. And obviously my mom and my dad, but we didn't really have healthy female relationships. If I look back on that, and I'm honest, and I did not necessarily have great models of what it was like. So the fact that to be in healthy relationship with other women. So the fact that God has put like women as my core area on my heart to be able to champion one another, encourage one another, be cheerleaders for one another. And those successful women that say like, yeah, you can do this. You can totally do this and still have a healthy marriage and not destroy your husband in the process or your children in the process or anything like that. Like, I want to create a movement and a community. Like, that's where we are right now in the business, is creating a community of women who can know and love and trust that they are seen and they are heard and that they have a way to be able to thrive in the area that God has made them. And yeah, there's so much there that we can kind of unpack.
Yeah. So let's unpack that, Anita. I love that you're saying that it's a movement. So talk about that a little bit more.
So I think what has been on my heart in the last little bit is to be able to create a community for women, successful women, right? Because oftentimes what I notice, and this is what happened in my life, like I had risen to a certain level of success, and then being able to be successful and then be submitted to my husband and figure out who's going to be the leader when I'm naturally a leader and he's also a leader and all those kinds of things. Like, That's one area that is definitely near and dear to my heart because I think sometimes we get that messed up. And I know from
Right.
our experience for my husband and I, there are seasons when we had done that horribly, and there are seasons when we've done it well and we've learned over time how to be great partners for one another. So being able to help other women in that. But there's also an element of wanting to in the success of growing the business, like I know for me, like I always wanted to intentionally raise my own kids. I've had nannies, I've had incredible women come alongside me to help me with my kids, especially when they were real little and babies, and I needed that kind of help. And I totally honor that and support that. But I also know that sometimes I've talked to so many women over the years, Jackie, who said, "Oh my gosh, you guys homeschool? I wish I could homeschool." Like I hundreds of probably thousands of women that I have met over the years that have told me they just have a heart to do different things with their kids. Doesn't have to work its way out in the homeschooling space. That's not the only way, but I think that if you have a core value of wanting to be a great mom, then your heart aches if you have to go and give your life to somebody else for 40 or 50 or 80 hours a week. I think
Right.
there's that nonsense of work-life balance is just total crap, and that there's no way if I'm giving myself to somebody else that much time in a 40 plus hour work or a 50 plus hour work week that I can all of a sudden also have the priority of those relationships. Because when I come home, I'm going to be exhausted. I'm going to be irritable. I'm going to be snappy. I'm not going to spend the time with my kids that I and my husband that I really, really want to. So those are some of the other things. But the other thing is, it's interesting when we move over from being an employee to the entrepreneur space, don't we know, like, it's a mindset shift. Like I could be successful over here in the corporate space because I have a team around me. I feel like I have security. I feel like I have, my 401k plans all settled and insurance and all the real, genuinely real things of life, like the really real of life that make you feel like you're a little bit insulated. Then you move over to the entrepreneur space, and don't we know, especially if you're starting out like as a solopreneur, you can kind of look around going, "Oh shoot, I don't have a team around me anymore. I have to do everything. I'm overwhelmed." And so many entrepreneurs, when we move to that space, we can end up working twice as many hours and make half as much. And that is, to me, that's the worst idea ever. The other element, and you touched on this earlier, I actually think, and I'm going to challenge probably somebody by saying this, I think that ministry does not need to mean that we don't make any money. I don't think that actually Jesus modeled for that for us at all. I believe that the word models that Jesus was, he was so well cared for and had done so well in his own business as a carpenter, he was able for 3.5 years to provide for the needs for at least 12 people in addition to himself. Right? And
Wow.
so
Yeah. I didn't think of it
I
that way. I love that. Yeah.
so when you have this idea that somehow I'm going to take my special, what I call specialized knowledge, so that's a skill set that we have risen in and perfected and refined over time, and we want to reapply that in a new way in the entrepreneurial setting and wrap a business around that. Like, yes, it's a ministry, but ministry never, I just think that the American church, frankly, I think we've kind of gotten it wrong. I think people have told us that somehow, when Jesus says it's better to be poor, that he meant actually financially. So many times he's always ministering to the poor in spirit. So, like if you read Matthew, right? Yeah, I'm going through the Gospels all over again. Jesus, when he speaks out and starts with the Beatitudes, he's talking about blessed are those that are poor in spirit, because that's where they're going to find the kingdom of heaven. So it's a posture. When my posture and my heart is, "Lord, I'm surrendered to you. I need you every day more and more and more. I need you more in my business than I did when I didn't have a business." Like, I recognize, like, "Lord, I need you to be my partner every single day." So I want to create an environment, and that's really the movement that we're on. We are creating an environment and a community of women where we can use wisdom, we can champion one another. We can love each other and support each other right where we at. There's none of that. Like, it's just not allowed to have people who are not willing to take action, who are going to be complainers, who are just going to sit around and boohoo. Like, I don't have any, I don't have any room in my life for any of that anymore. I just don't, because I believe that God, when He's called us to something and it looks impossible, to me, like, that's where the adventure starts. And part of that is part of the way that we navigate that is getting around the right community of people that can help champion us. Doesn't mean they're going to do everything for us, but it does mean that when it gets hard, I pick you up, you pick me up, and we're able to walk forward together and pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and keep moving on the path that God has called us to and keep going.
Yeah, that's a word of encouragement. Keep going. Like, dust yourself off. It may not look perfect right now, but you are a child of God who is something. God has planted something in you, and He will see you through it. If He's giving you this vision, He's giving you the all these things. God's not going to just leave you hanging and say, "Well, that was good. That was it. You figure it out." He's so much better than that. I love that you want to champion other people through that. That just makes my heart so happy. Because I think we need more people like you, Anita, out there who are willing to say, "Hey, let's roll up our sleeves together and let's see how I can help you." I think that's a good word. And I love that. I love that you said God speaks to the poor in spirit. I think we all need that. I mean, I don't think it's any, I don't think it's not per I think it's very, very meaningful. I guess I want to get my words right here. I very meaningful that God came to the woman in the well. You know, the well, meaning for me, I think when I think about the well, you know, when God draws out that water, He said, "I am living water." I think there's something when we draw from God. He knows everything. He knows everything. He's not fake. There's no facade. You know, in business and life, you know, there are people who will say they're on your side and they may not be. You know, they're just out for themselves or whatever it might be. And I think that, you know, Jesus sees us right where we're at, and He's not out for anyone but your heart. And I think when we come to the well, we all are every single day. We're not, you know, it's always a posture setting. You know, how do we turn our eyes towards Him? How can we come to the cross a little bit quicker than the day before? You know, how can we better set ourselves up in the Word so that we can draw from the well a little bit better? And I think the Lord just kind of, I don't know, encourages us in His Word that way. And I think He encourages us in life that way. Whether you're a mom who's, you know, tired and exhausted from being up all night, or maybe, you know, you're trying to juggle all the million different things and you know, the schedules, and maybe you're trying to run your own business, and who knows what you have on your plate. I bet the plate is full, because if you're coming to this podcast, you want to be encouraged, because I'm telling you what, your plate's probably full and you need some encouragement today. But I can I tell you something? God's with you, and He sees you right where you're at. And I don't know, Anita, do you have any other champion words for encouragement today for our listeners?
I think when we recognize that sometimes the community that we're in is not really the best for us, and it's okay to let that go and then be willing to walk in something new. I think it's also okay that when you've been in a community for a really long time and it's the right community for you, it's totally okay to stay, right? But like in the entrepreneurial space, I was in lots of different mastermind communities before I'm in the one that I'm in now, where really everything that we do is we're all focused on being kingdom entrepreneurs. And the definition of that is means we are glorifying God in our businesses as entrepreneurs. And there's nothing wrong with the other communities that weren't really a good fit for me, but that was just it. They weren't a good fit for me, right? So finding a place where you are, at least what I have learned in my life and in lots of mistakes along the way, it's finding a place where people see me, they know God's word, and they're willing to speak the hard things to me when I am being a knucklehead, right? Or when I am making mistakes and I am off on my thinking, believing an old lie, living in an old wound, something like that. And they can share that with me in love, right? And they're willing to help me. I have been super fortunate because as I look back over my walk with Jesus, Jackie, I had some incredible older women that would come alongside. And this is the picture that God always gives me. They would reach one hand back and grab my hand and just help me take one step forward. And that's really what I want to do in our community. And we do that a couple of different ways. I have a free ebook that I published this year that's called The Six-Step Blueprint to Build a Profitable Business that can be a gift for anybody who is interested in kind of going on this journey. And then what we've been talking about is our mastermind community of being able to be involved with a group of women who use wisdom and courage and strength and honor for one another and what God's put inside of us as individuals, and then be able to see, like, you know, to honor you, Jackie, and where you're at and the season that you're in, and champion you along the way. Like, that is my greatest honor, to be able to do that for you today and every day that we talk. But then also have other ladies that would be willing to do that for me. Like, I just think that's where it at, is at. It's that authentic relationship where it's not about religion. Mm-hmm. It's really about relationship and God. And then also just, I guess, my other encouragement for women, because we have such a tendency to compare ourselves to other, whatever season you're in, that's where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So just be in that season. If that's where God's called you, like, we were called to homeschool. We always said, this is where we're called. We want to be obedient to that. And that looked different. That meant our lives look very different than a lot of people around us. But the obedience of sitting with God and doing what he calls you to do in that season. So ladies, be so encouraged, because this is kind of how it was always explained to me early on in my walk, is that in my life, like, the most important relationships are kind of like a triangle, where God is at the top, my husband and I are at the other sides of the triangle. And as my husband and I get closer and closer and closer and closer to Jesus as first and foremost, then we draw closer to one another. And then everybody else actually comes after that. So that includes our kids. I know for moms, sometimes it's hard to put our kids below our relationship with our husband. That just, especially if you have old wounds or believing old lies, or sometimes, or there's hurt there, that
right.
Sometimes that can be really hard to recognize that that's kind of the priority. And then everybody else after your own family, then everybody else is like outside the circle, and they all fall in line after that. And that just helped me to recognize the priorities, because the time that I have spent in intimacy with God has really, it's paid off in droves. Because I know God, and he knows me. And it has allowed me to be able to walk in the good things that he has for me, even though they're radically hard sometimes. And it has allowed me, when he's come first, to love my children better than I ever could have on my own, and love my husband better, and be a better leader in the entrepreneurial space and a better champion for other successful women in the corporate space, because I know what he's called me to. And I can have confidence that, even though sometimes, to be honest, sometimes the timing doesn't work out the way that I think it's supposed to.
Yeah.
But I know that I know that I know that God's on my side, and he's in the midst of this. And so I can feel confident and trust him as it unfolds in the most beautiful and messy way possible. I have a podcast called The Messy Middle.
Yes.
We can put a link in the show notes on as well. That is just this, right? It's The Messy Middle. It's called The Messy Middle. And
very
it's
good. You guys gotta listen.
Journey. Yeah. Yes. One mom's journey to build a profitable business, because don't we know, like, it's life is not always beautiful. It's hard. It can be really, really hard. And sometimes it can be kind of, yeah, it can be kind of yucky.
But I love that encouragement. You can find beautiful in the hard. And I think in the messy middle, there's beautiful things are happening. And I think it takes a lot of radical faith, which leads to a lot radical love, which leads to maybe sometimes a radical hard, but leads to something radically beautiful. And I think if we're really getting into that, I want to marinate in those words right now. I want to marinate in God's favor. I want to marinate in how he shows up by our sides in what we think might be like, I don't know what direction, or I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how you're going to take me this step, but he shows up. And I love that you remind us of that, that he's with us always. He doesn't let us go from the beginning to the end, and he knows it all, and he knows you so much, and he just loves you so much, Anita. And I just thank you so much for such a time as this. I just believe God has placed you in this position. And if you are listening today, for such a time as this, God has placed you where you are at. And yes, fall into his arms. Go to his calling, whatever he's calling for you to do. I think there it's not an accident you're hearing this message today. And go back, take notes, listen in again, and be encouraged, because I just know that that's going to be your light for the day. Thank you so much, Anita, for coming in and sharing up your light and being a light into our world today.
Yeah, you bet, Jackie. I so appreciate you. I just want to honor you and your listeners and what you're doing. It's so incredibly important. Yeah. We're all blessed because of you. Appreciate you.
Wasn't that so incredible? I absolutely love being encouraged by our guest speaker today, and I hope you were too. If this is something that you really did enjoy, please, please, please go ahead over to Apple Podcasts, click on write a review, write a little something, click that 5 stars, and more people will be able to see this Be Encouraged podcast just like you. So I just hope that just blessed your day, and you can bless me by going ahead and writing a review, sharing this with a friend, or even rating this episode right here, right now. So thank you so much. And don't forget to go ahead and click in the show notes to learn more about our guest speaker today. Thanks, everybody. And I will see you dropping a new episode in 2 weeks. All right, be encouraged.